So earlier in the hour, I said that Hillary and I would meet with you, Bob Miglani, who is a very interesting study in business reality. Bob grew up helping his family manage a Dairy Queen. Now, you know how I love Dairy Queens. I always am talking about the ice cream at Dairy Queen. This fellow now is a big shot at a big Fortune 500 company, but he has used the same business principles, mostly aimed at customer service, that he learned whilst he was at the Dairy Queen. And his customers certainly appreciate it. And if you're in business or you're thinking of starting a business, or frankly, I think from what I read in this neat little book called Treat Your Customers, you can apply these things not just to business, but you can really apply these things to many different things in life. So, Bob, it is with pleasure that I welcome you to Good Day.
Good morning.
How I'm looking at the things that you've done, and I just happened to open up to one of the chapters called The Cherry is Always Free.
Right.
I like the cherry on top, but I always thought that was included in the price.
It is. The cherry is really symbolic, and a lot of the chapters are analogies about what I learned at the Dairy Queen that you can apply in all walks of life, including business. But the cherry is symbolic for, you know, you want to create a atmosphere that's warm, inviting for the customer, that makes them feel good when they leave your place of business. That's what it's all about. So cherry is free, and it's on the house, and it's all about treating that customer and giving that environment that's conducive to a loyal customer.
So your family owned this Dairy Queen.
That's right.
So you had to have learned these things from your parents.
Yes.
And I wonder where they learned all of this.
Well, you know, we when we were kids, my sisters and I didn't really love going to the store every single day on the weekends.
Yeah.
How it is with family business.
Yeah, I have a farm, and my kids didn't like doing all the things on the farm that they needed to do when they were kids.
Yeah, but you know, it wasn't until later when we moved into our own jobs and I started working at the Fortune 500 company 13 years ago that I realized there's so many of the things that my parents sort of made us do. And what we learned at the store, I was applying in my job.
But how did they get them? That's what I'm curious about. Well, where is it? Like, did they get it from their parents, and they get it from their parents? How far back does this go?
Well, we you know, when we came to the U.S. 26 years ago as immigrants, and you know, we were struggling. We wanted to succeed, and we had a desire for the American dream. And it was largely about this passion for, you know, succeeding and success and having your own business and following the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
We embraced the customers. We said, you know, these are the reasons, these people are the reasons we exist as a business.
So and you and your family came over here. How old were you when you got here?
I was nine.
9 years old.
Yeah, I was 9 years old.
And what did you think upon embarking on this trip and getting over here? What were your expectations as a kid? What were your family's expectations?
Well, my family's expectation to make it, you know, to do well, to have a life where my parents didn't, you know, go to college, and they wanted all of us to have an education and get a job in corporate America. And, you know, as kids growing up, we didn't know any better. And we thought, okay, well, this is what our parents want us to do. We'll, you know, we'll do it.
Yep.
And, you know, I delivered the paper. I mean, I got into, I used to mow lawns for the summer, you know.
Yeah, all the things that all of us did. We all had to work, and
that's
we all
right.
learned something
right.
that we liked or didn't like from those experiences. And maybe that's part of what is important here, to take away what you liked and what you didn't like. And then it's almost like the golden rule
yes.
of business. Treat your customers like you want to be treated yourself. That's what I say to somebody. I go into whether it's a Dairy Queen
sure.
or any store, and if they, A, can't speak English, which is a big bugaboo, they
Absolutely.
Don't want my business, then
Absolutely.
You get out of there.
Absolutely.
If they treat you rudely, they don't want your business, you get out of there. If they don't have what they say they are selling,
right.
then they don't want your business, you get out of there. There are a lot of reasons to go. People have become, and I see this is part of the problem, people have become sort of complacent
yes.
when it comes. Don't you think? I don't mean just people running businesses. I'm talking about the people who go to use services or they buy
right.
goods. Right.
But you know, the problem I've found, Doug, is that competition is such these days that it doesn't really affect anyone. For example, I had some prescriptions to have filled at Walgreens. I had four prescriptions to fill, dermatological. And they were so nasty and surly and difficult that I said, forget it. And I said, give them back.
So how does Walgreens...
I'm going to go to Walmart and have them filled.
I found that to be the case, too. I find that to be the case at Walmart. So how do these people stay in business?
Wait, but Walgreens didn't care. The girl just shrugged.
Well, it's not her business.
That's right. Well, but, you know, the impact of that poor customer service is felt later on. I mean, it's felt. You see it with AOL. You've seen that what happens day in, day out.
Yeah.
You see it with Home Depot.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a mammoth of an organization. They can't get basic customer service right.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're spending so much on technology. And you know what the fundamental problem, and this is what I wrote, the reason I wrote this book, Treat Your Customers, is that we need to spend more time training our people, to treating that lady who treated you poorly at that pharmacy, training her to get the basic principles right.
But we don't. We're not doing that. The companies, the big companies, are doing the same thing across the board, Bob. They're cutting. Look at the latest example, not when it comes to personnel, but when it comes to the product, is BP. They take 0.1 cent per barrel of oil and cut what they were putting in the line to keep it from corroding, and it corrodes. So now it costs them $400 million, which is nothing. They write it all off anyway.
Right.
And so the thinking that goes on here, and you hear a lot of business owners, small and medium-sized, in the circle that I travel anyway, because, oh, you can't get good help. You know, that's a cop-out.
It is. It absolutely is. And you can. You know, people are trainable. You need to have an environment where you spend time with them, engaging them. You know what? And it's really not rocket science.
No.
It is getting the basic things right. When they come into your place of business, greet them with a smile.
Mm-hmm.
Say, have a natural conversation. Hey, how did the Yankees do last night? I mean, they're the kind of things that you would do with a friend, a neighbor, a family member.
Well, they're coming into your store, your business, to give you money.
Yes.
To exchange money for something. So you should be happy, because without them, you're out.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is my pet peeve about waiting. And I have a chapter in there. It's called Don't Make Them Wait.
Yeah.
You know, so many places you go to, there's people in a place of an electronics store, for example. You go there, and there's tons of people hanging around, talking on their cell phones or talking to other employees.
Yeah.
And here you are, ready to pay them good money for something.
You know what I was taught? When I worked as, and this, I'm sorry, the reference is to Friendly's, because I didn't work at a Dairy Queen. I worked at a Friendly's.
I love Friendly's.
When I was a kid. And the boss said to me, and I saw him fire somebody one day for this, and we all learned the lesson. There was a kid doing the same thing you're talking about. I was talking to one of his friends over the counter, and there was somebody standing at the cash register who wanted to pay.
Sure.
And this kid kept talking to his friend. So the manager's name was Don Wallentuck. I remember like it was yesterday. He walked up. He watched what was going on. He was working. He was flipping burgers or something, cooking. He walked up to the cash register because we were told, no matter what you're doing,
yes,
no matter where the focus is, if there's somebody standing at the cash register, the guy closest to it runs to the cash register to get this guy's money. Meanwhile, after Don takes this person's money, brings the kid in the back room and says, you know what? You don't quite get what we're trying to do here. I think it's time for you to leave.
This happens a daily basis. We've seen it so many places. You know, it's not only just the airlines where you go to, but
the airlines are the worst.
Yeah, and you know what it is about the airlines? They know everything about you when you check in at the counter, but you get the worst service when you're in the air.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's so much investment in technology, but not in...
Well, but they want to tell you, I had an experience at United Airlines in Los Angeles last year, and the argument was based on me standing in a line that wasn't moving, and they had nobody outside helping people get through the lines to get to their flight. It was like a game. We'll see if we can make as many people as possible lose their luggage or see if we can have them miss the flight. And I go inside to find the supervisor, and he says, it's my fault. I'm wrong. They're right. And he wants to have a fight with me. So every time I've had an opportunity on the air, and I talk to 3 or 4 million people a week, I've told that story. Now, United, God bless them, they're coming out of bankruptcy, and they made some profit like all the other airlines did. But you know what? That stays in my mind, and now I'm reluctant, if at all, to use United. But I'm happy to tell the story on the air. And usually what happens is that people will, with word of mouth, tell their stories, and that's what ultimately, it's like a bad movie.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what really affects, I think, people going or not going to.
And,
go ahead.
You know, and the lesson for corporate CEOs, and one of the chapters I have in Treat Your Customers is, once in a while, taste your own ice cream. And that is really about going out and seeing your business from your customer's perspective. You know, don't necessarily listen only to your market research reports that you get, which are really not, you know, they're nice, they're important, you have to have it.
Yeah.
But go out in the field. Talk to an agent. Work as an agent. That's why Southwest Airlines did so well.
Yep.
You know, their CEO is out there serving customers on the flights.
Yep.
And getting an understanding, a real feel for what it's like to be in the customer's shoes.
We're having a conversation with Bob Minglani, who has turned his experiences at the Dairy Queen as a kid into a wonderful career and a job. And this is just something simple, straightforward, really right off the shoulder. If you're into business, you've got to, we will destroy, and I say this not trying to sound like a doom and gloomer, but we have done so many things that have been not productive in our country to destroy what the fiber and fabric of our country, the great businesses and the great ideas that entrepreneurs have had, but still is, this country still is the place for people to come and make this happen. What happens down the road is, I think, what we're sort of worried about. And that's why if you want to have a small business, a medium-sized business, big business, you got to teach people. I mean, look at the difference, frankly, in Walmart from when Sam Walton was alive and when he passed and what's going on now, Bob. I look at that and see. I used to love to go to Walmart.
Sure.
Because I love what the old man stood for.
Absolutely.
I don't like anything about it now, and I don't like anything that they stand for.
Because
they've changed it. It isn't the same place, although the people say I'm too rough on them. I'd like them to survive because they're a great American institution. But how do they survive? You know, and you look again what Hillary just said about Walgreens or any of these.
But what did I say? I said I was going to go over to Walmart.
Yeah, right.
At least at Walmart, they're very friendly.
Then maybe
Walmart
one you go to.
Walmart employs millions and millions of people who then turn around and shop at Walmart.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, I don't want to make
the economy through bad and good times.
Yeah. Where we have this as a referendum on Walmart.
I like Walmart.
I know you do. Right. All right. So the things that are great in here are the parallels with all the things that we like. I loved Mr. Misty's.
Yeah.
Although sometimes they were so cold,
right,
they would gut my gums. But the
you get the headache.
You got a brain freeze.
Down. Brain freeze. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the lessons in the book is don't let the Mr. Misty go to your head.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the lesson was, you know, I in my job, I fly all around the world, and I used to come back on Friday nights and help out my parents at the store.
Yeah.
And here I am landing, you know, from at the airport, going to the store, helping my parents. And one day I was working, and, you know, these customers treated me pretty poorly. And then I realized, you know, I was sort of getting in the mode of treating them poorly because I was just in a bad mood, exhausted.
Right. Yeah.
And I realized, you know, I have to be humble. I have to be, you know, in one's way, you know, these are the reasons, these people are the reasons we exist in business.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I've got to treat them that way. So no matter how important you might be in your business, you have to be humble when it comes to your customers.
And you got
to
give them their money. The same is
true
in radio. I have to give people listening what they are coming to the radio for, or find the people who understand what it is I'm giving, and hopefully they'll get what we're dishing out, if you'll pardon the pun. Treat your customers. Bob Minglani, good to have you here. Nice to make your acquaintance.
Thank you very much. Nice
yes.
to be here.